Well, good morning. Can you all hear me fine? Yes. Good. That's usually a chief problem. Either somebody doesn't want to listen or they have hard of hearing. So I just want to be openly thankful for this opportunity to speak today because it's a privilege and an honor and a blessing to share God's word with God's people. The title, as you saw in the bulletin, is Just As I Am, Without One Plea. Let me pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, we just come before you today. I point at myself, Lord, because I know that I need this message as much as anyone. And I know that's the way you speak, is to all of us, through your Spirit. So open hearts so that we might receive what you want us to have from you personally today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the words of that wonderful old hymn are ones which all people, we all need to personally hear, to feel, and to accept within our heart so that we can all be effective from those words. And they mean something in our spiritual life. The Reverend Billy Graham, he is widely known for having this hymn to be sung at his many evangelistic crusades. So a lot of us recall how the words had penetrated our hearts and became a spiritual calling from God himself, not just the author of the psalm. Those words brought us to our knees by the Spirit of God as we surrendered our life to him. I don't want to be boring to you, but I definitely feel the need to share the words of that old hymn with you. And I'm going to read them in a way maybe that's unique or special for each of us. I know how I feel. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thy love unknown hath broken every barrier down, now to be thine and thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. My friends, for me, an overall great concern for this wonderful old hymn begins within my heart, and that is with the thought that we all need the Lord and what he has done for us by his death on the cross. Everyone needs Jesus because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God according to Romans 3:23. And we can't save ourselves or earn our way to heaven by anything good we may have previously done or anything new that we might do in the future. The scripture itself is, by grace are ye saved through faith, not of works. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. Therefore, all we have in us or in the way of possessions is because of God's grace. Consequently, all we can obtain, all we can ever have, when we're willing to admit this, comes to us by God's grace. Furthermore, all we can and must do is acknowledge that God only tells us the truth. He can't lie. We know this. And when we read and receive faith from the Word of God, and when it says so in Numbers 23:19. So therefore, we can believe and trust everything he says in his written word, the Bible. The fact that he is speaking to all of us right now through his Holy Spirit is not by mere coincidence. No, it's by his divine appointment. The fact is this. Jesus said in John 14:16 that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes unto the Father but by him. That is, we believe in Jesus alone, and we can gain access. We put all of our faith in Jesus and what he has done for us by his sacrificial death on the cross. Then we can never by any means gain access into heaven for eternity without that. It breaks my heart when I think of people that I know, that I've seen resist, rebel, turn away every invitation to Christ they've ever been given. I know what their destiny is, because they left this world without receiving Christ. Instead, for those who either refuse or fail to make that eternal choice of where they want to spend eternity, then here are the last 7 words they will ever hear from God. This tears me up when I say it. Depart from me. I never knew you. The Spirit of God really is moving hard. I can feel it in my heart. Those words are ones that I don't want to ever hear. So on the other hand, for all who do make that everlasting choice to receive Jesus into their hearts, then the words they will hear from God are those like what Jesus spoke in Matthew 25:23. And he said this, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things." And here's the part I love the best. "Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Can you call him your Lord? That's what makes the difference in that. There is a tremendous benefit, as you will notice, when the Lord gets to be a little bit wordier for those people who are true and faithful believers. A true believer is one whom the Lord and they themselves know. I like that word know. It's not N-O, but it's K-N-O-W. They know that something has spiritually and unmistakably been changed for them by their decision. First, they have become a child of God, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You can't become something you already are. Well, the Lord has willingly adopted those people, according to Galatians 3:26. It says this, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Every human is born in God's image and likeness, but not everyone has put their faith in his Son, Jesus. Well, the way that we come to know beyond all doubt that we have become a true, born-again child of God is confirmed for us in Romans 8:16, when it says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." That witness is so important. It took me a long time before I got that witness. I said, "Oh, I believe, But did I really? I didn't know that I knew until I knew it. You'll know, I guarantee it. Something changes in here. Burdens are lifted. Where? At Calvary. Amen. The message of the Lord's gospel is something which I am proud to proclaim at every opportunity I am given. I say that I am proud because I have no shame in telling you the truth of God's word. Oh, I love what is said in Romans 1:16. It's a very, very good verse. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Now, you may have heard that quote before, but have you considered how some people are ashamed and they refuse to share the gospel as though it were something criminal? As though because they had not been to seminary that they'd had no right to speak to people about putting their faith in Jesus in order to be saved. Friends, for me, this is a very troubling matter because those people may not remember the words of Jesus in Mark 8:38 when he said, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." I say that I was never bold, and I did have somewhat shame. I didn't walk the walk. I talked the talk. But when something happens in you for real, and you know it, when I said to him, "I want to know what it is that you feel for this world." I hear people all the time saying, "Oh, the lost, they're going to hell." But I didn't feel anything in my heart until I asked him to let me feel it. That was the beginning of the good in my life. Friends, I don't know about you, but I cannot afford to have a speck of shame about sharing the gospel of salvation. In fact, it is my most passionate desire that I would have the divine privilege of being even a small part in leading even one person. And I'll be 68. I haven't seen anybody yet, but I'm believing God for it. One person being led to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that they would be born again and give their life to him for eternity. Only God knows whether that person may become the next major evangelist to win untold numbers to salvation. I don't know the statistics on Billy Graham, but I've heard just things about it, that he was phenomenal numbers. And there were others before him that had phenomenal numbers. Numbers of real salvations. Well, this song, the hymn, "Just As I Am," is a good place for everyone to get the message that all they can do is go to the Lord just the way they are, regardless of how bad they may have been. He doesn't care about the little sins any more than the big ones. It's just sin is sin. He doesn't care. He wants you. It doesn't matter about the good things that you've done. They don't earn anything. Spiritual success for eternity. I like that word, spiritual success for eternity, can happen when a person does these 9 things. And there may be others, but this is what I've got down. 1, they humble themselves before the Lord, going to him just the way they are without any form of excuse or proclaiming their highest value. 2, they admit they are a sinner from birth because of what Adam and Eve had done. There is no escape from that truth, unless you can prove it to me. 3, confess all their sins to him, not leaving any out, even the ones they don't remember, as well as the ones they or other people don't consider to be all that bad or just a sin, but they might simply disregard what God's word says is sin. Or try to even change it, dare to change God's word. They ought to read the last book of the Bible, Revelation. I think they'd have a stark awakening if their spirit is open to it. Well, number four is turn away from their sins in complete repentance. That means they are to retreat and go in the opposite direction and avoid all temptations to go back into those sinful practices, whatever they may be, the lifestyles. None of the rich and famous either. What can help with this? Well, this person should learn and know what has been told them in James 4:7. It says, therefore, I mean, something came before, of course. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You can't have power to resist unless you submit. I'm not much of a rhymer, but anyway, submit. That means surrender. It means give in to God, saying it's your way or no way. I don't have power, God, without you. When you hear God's word, you receive faith. That's power. He gives it to you freely if you'll take it. Number five, believe that Jesus died for them personally as well as the whole world. Didn't leave anybody out. He didn't say, no, not you. You're unforgivable. No, he didn't say that. He sent Jesus to die for the whole world. Number six, believe that he rose from the dead by the power of God. Number seven, believe that he went up to heaven and has prepared a special place just for them, just for me, just for you. Number eight, bigger challenge. Live every day of life attempting to put Christ first in everything that we think, say, and do, knowing that the Lord is here always with us and is fully aware of what's going on. There's no hiding from God. When you think you can keep a secret from the Lord, you got a problem. If he didn't know everything, why would he be God? Well, that, my friends, is what I call having a personal relationship with him. And it is aggressively boosted by the prayers, our Bible study time, meditation, and a life of sharing God's love with as many people as we can. The last one, number nine, is daily. Not once a week in church, not just when things are going right, but all day, every day. Be patient while we expectantly and joyfully wait on the Lord to return, just as Jesus promised. See, I love that. Jesus promises to do things and he keeps his word. Now, my friends, is there someone here? You don't need to show your hand. I don't want to see hands. It's not important to me. It's important to God. Is there anyone here that you can say that you have never truly heard a preacher speak to you the uncompromised word of God, delivering the gospel message of salvation? This has been it. The largest and most important, eternally important question is, now that you have heard that message, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do in your heart? You're going to be able to say, I know Jesus. You're going to say, I wish I knew Jesus. Well, it is your choice, and the way you live after making that choice can affect the lives of many, many other people for their blessed eternal future, or it can lay the footwork for an eternally negative impact if you don't share. Making that decision today is the most significant choice you will ever make. Please don't wait, because our tomorrow is not guaranteed. what you think about, what you desire today, what you actively attempt to pursue is what will determine your future. I can say that when I go, whether it's in death or the rapture, I know where I'm going, and I know why I'm going. Most people can't say that. They say, I hope I'm going to heaven, or I wish I knew for sure if there was really a God. I'd change my ways in a minute. You can know. Just give him you, just as you are. If you have today or in the past made that correct choice, are you willing to tell one or more people what the Lord has done for you? You can be an important part of sharing the gospel by sharing your testimony. Amen.